Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." This passage is often used to teach what Martin Luther called the doctrine of two kingdoms, where Luther made a distinction between the secular kingdom of the world and the spiritual kingdom of God. Sometimes we call it the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right. Others call it church and state. In Christians, we live in the tension of simultaneously living in these two different kingdoms. The left-hand kingdom is the temporal kingdom where we reside physically. It's a kingdom of law ruled by power of governments and civil government. In this kingdom, the Christian owes its leaders loyalty and obedience. It's where we return to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. However, as baptized believers in Christ, at the same time, we also live in the right-hand kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God's grace and the gospel. It's a kingdom where the Holy Spirit, working through God's word, calls sinners to repentance and faith in Christ. It's where believers respond in faith and love to God, who first loved them, and then bear fruits of repentance, love toward God, and love and good works toward the neighbor. This is where we return the things of God back to God. But the one thing that's often forgotten when we talk about these two kingdoms, both kingdoms belong to God. They're His. He created them. He sustains them. And He rules them both. He rules the kingdom of the left with power given to the governments instituted by Him for the sake of good order in the world. And He rules the kingdom of the right with His rich mercy and grace. And as I said, as Christians, we live with one foot in both kingdoms at the same time. And there are many times that you probably disagree with our nation's leaders and the laws that they enact. But they are still God's instruments for the good of mankind on earth. So, in Jesus' words, we return to Caesar those things that are Caesar's. St. Paul says, "Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." And we continue to do this up until a point when Caesar oversteps his authority and goes against God's word and command. And at that point, the Christian must push back against Caesar, push back against government and civil rulers, and obey God rather than men. But the interesting point that most people use this passage for teaching of the two different kingdoms is the main point of the Pharisees sending their disciples and Herodians to Jesus to interrogate Him. It has nothing at all to do with taxes. It has nothing at all to do with the church and state. And we know this because of the first verse in our text where it says, "The Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words." Jesus is in Jerusalem just a couple days before he would be brutally crucified on the cross to win salvation for all mankind. Many of the people had heard his teaching and witnessed his miracles. Many believed in him. And as he rode into the holy city, they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But the religious leaders saw Jesus as a threat to their power and their prestige. In the days following Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, he would anger the religious leaders by cleansing the temple of the money changers and the merchants. He would anger those same leaders by healing the blind and the lame. And when they questioned Jesus' authority, who gave him the authority to do such things, he told parables against them. And they in turn perceived that he was telling these parables against them. So they plotted, they planned. How can we best trap Jesus? How can we trick him into saying something that gives us reason to arrest him? And when they schemed, they came up with what they thought was a foolproof plan. They would send their own disciples and the Herodians, two groups of people that Jesus would never have suspected. He wouldn't recognize them. Let them ask this innocent but deadly question. They're thinking that either way Jesus answers, they have him condemned. So the interrogators come to Jesus with deceit and false flattery, and at the same time, they unwittingly confess the truth about Jesus. For Jesus is the truth, and he teaches the way of God truthfully. Regardless of anyone's opinion, no one is going to sway his position where he stands with God. Yet the Herodians and the Pharisees don't see it this way. They see Jesus as nothing more than an obstacle to their power. He's a roadblock which must be removed. And just when they think they have Jesus all puffed up with their flattery and they've got him worked up into putty in their hands, they spring the question. Tell us then, Jesus, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They thought it was the perfect question that would divide the kingdom of the left and the right. The Pharisees, of course, had no choice but to pay the tax. They may have been the religious leaders of their day and their people, but they're still under the pagan rule of Caesar. They still have to obey Caesar. But with their either-or question, if Jesus agreed that it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, well, then they could accuse him of being a friend of Caesar's, and he would lose favor with the crowds who sought to make him an earthly king and overthrow the Romans. But on the other hand, if Jesus says that it's wrong to pay taxes to Caesar, the Herodians will be upset. They will have him arrested for being disloyal to Rome, even perhaps label him as an insurrectionist. Well, they thought they had the perfect trap. Regardless how he answers, they think they have him caught. But they didn't consider that Jesus was omniscient. He already knew what was in their hearts. And he exposes their hypocrisy, and as he often does, he turns the question on its head and exposes them. He merely says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. What they thought was the perfect question to make Jesus choose between the government and God, between the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right, well, they forgot that God owns and controls both kingdoms. God the Father had sent his Son in the flesh of man to bring his kingdom onto the earth, to bring his power and gracious rule onto the earth. The kingdom of God, that is the reign and rule of God in Christ Jesus, was standing right there before them in the flesh of man. And while Jesus did indeed honor temporal authority while he lived on earth, that honor, that temporal authority that God had established in the kingdom of the left, the bigger issue here, Jesus goes to, it's not so much about paying taxes to Caesar. The bigger issue, the ultimate issue, is the rule and authority that God has over spiritual matters. So Jesus' instruction to the religious leaders of that day is his instruction to you and me today. He says, render to God the things that are God's. But that's a pretty difficult statement. Because how can a Christian properly render unto God the things that already belong to him? Well, as Lutherans, we could open our small catechism. In the back, there's a section called the Table of Duties, which we probably don't talk about often enough. But it's Luther's list of duties that people in various callings and stations of life have toward others. It's both a command and a blessing from God. Or I could give you a long list of things that you could and should return unto God. No doubt, you should praise, honor, and give glory to God in good times and in bad. You should read your Bible and pray every day. You should make God your number one priority. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And whether you like it or not, a biblical teaching, you should give probably at least 10% of your income to the work of God's church. But as I said earlier, both the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right belong to God. How can we render anything to the Almighty God? Because as we heard in our introit, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade and your right hand. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And King David writes, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. So while it is good, right, and salutary for you and I to return to God all these things that I just listed, and to attempt to keep Luther's table of duties as he has written, if you merely do all these things, if you merely do any of those things under compulsion or guilt, they're empty and they're useless. Besides, in all things that we do, we fall short of the glory of God. Martin Luther once wrote, "You owe God nothing but to believe and confess." And without the aid of the Holy Spirit, you and I cannot even do that. Yes, the earth and all it contains is the Lord's. All that you have and all that you are is a gracious gift and blessing from your Heavenly Father. But God doesn't merely stop at the physical things, what we call your first article gifts, the material things in the kingdom of the left. He comes to you in the kingdom of the right, the spiritual kingdom. He comes to you in baptism, and he adopted you and made you his own child in that kingdom of the right. It's where you live under the rule and reign of Christ Jesus. And because of his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross on your behalf, you are free from the curse of death and the power of the devil. It was at the washing of the water and the word that you were clothed with the righteousness of Christ, freeing you from the wages of all your sin. You were given the gift of faith in the Holy Spirit, who continues to sustain you in the true faith through the preaching of the gospel. The sinful nature believes that material things are important. The old Adam wants to save and gather and store stuff and things. And you and I judge our position and success in this life by what we achieve and what we own and what we have saved. But we ought to remember a little bit about what Job said after he had lost all his children and all that he possessed. Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, your first article gifts, your possessions, indeed are a blessing from God. But it's His gift of spiritual things that is your most valued and precious possession. The forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. Because you owe nothing, you owe God nothing but to believe and confess. Everything else in this world, even your physical life, can be taken away by Caesar or some deranged person with mental illness. It can be taken away at a moment's notice. Kind of brings to thought Luther's Reformation hymn, where Luther writes, "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though all these be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth." Brothers and sisters in Christ, return to God the things that are God's. And what does that look like? Well, first of all, it's living a life of repentance, turning away from your sinful ways and taking up your cross and following Jesus as His obedient disciple. It's confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and your Savior. It's the Holy Spirit working through the proclamation of the gospel to strengthen your faith and enabling you to serve and love others, just as God in Christ Jesus serves and loves you. It's to believe this gospel and to recognize that faith in Jesus is the highest worship of Christ. Faith in Jesus is the ultimate rendering unto God. It is to take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, receiving the abundance of gifts He has for you in His body and blood given and shed for you in the waters of baptism and in His holy absolution. All these gifts poured out for you to render under God is to cling to these things by faith. Cling to Jesus, the one who has paid your tax debt, the wages of your sin, by His innocent suffering and death on the cross. And on Good Friday afternoon, when you hear Jesus cry out from the cross, "It is finished," well, you know for a fact that your tax bill has been paid in full. Your Heavenly Father rules over all things. He has established government for good order in life, and He has created His church to give eternal life to all who believe. And it is right here in a divine service that He gathers us together and He calls and sanctifies the whole Christian church of all ages. This is where He pours out all of His rich gifts of mercy and grace. And after you receive all those precious gifts in word and sacrament, you are freed. Freed to return to God the things that are His. Return to Him praise, honor, and glory for the riches of salvation freely given for the sake of Jesus, His only begotten Son, our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.